This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba.
Michael Brown in Ferguson, Eric Garner in New York, Walter Scott in South Carolina. For a while now, national news has been filled with stories of unarmed black men dying at the hands of the police and the protests that follow in response. But each year, American police kill hundreds of people. More than a dozen people were killed by police in the Bay Area in 2014, and not everyone becomes a household name afterwards. If names like Alex Nieto or Alice Brown ring a bell, it's because local organizations and activists got the word out when they were killed by police. One group in San Francisco's Bayview District does more than coordinate political action. They help the individual families left behind. KALW's Rachel Wong brings us the story of the Idris Stelly Foundation.
This isn't the story of another police shooting. It's the story of what happens after a police shooting, especially one in particular.
The night he died, I felt my soul tearing apart. He was my only child.
Misha Irizarry's son, Idris Stelly, was 23 when he was killed in 2001 by San Francisco police at a movie theater during what was possibly a psychotic episode. Stelly was bipolar, but his mother says he was so much more.
He was a web designer, was an artist. There was nothing that was impossible to Idris.
And suddenly, he was gone. As the police's version of the story made the rounds in the local news, his mother desperately tried to figure out what really happened. She didn't get much sympathy. Some people felt the police had done the right thing. She realized,
I got to take care of people around me, because if I start thinking too much about what happened, I'm going to lose my mind.
So she started the Idris Stelly Foundation in her son's honor to address issues of police misconduct. She's been working relentlessly on it ever since.
Hello!
Misha Irizarry describes herself as an old dyke, 67 years young. She's a multiracial woman originally from the Basque Country in Spain. She wears her hair in long, tightly woven braids pulled back into a ponytail. When she speaks, she often holds her hand to her heart.
We pay attention. We care.
These days, she's disabled. She walks with a cane and suffers from a respiratory illness. Irizarry's team includes two younger activists, Rebecca Ruiz and Jeremy Miller, and a handful of rotating interns. The Idris Stelly Foundation has no website, no funding, and it isn't registered as a nonprofit. They run the whole thing out of Irizarry's one-bedroom apartment in Bayview Hunters Point. They're about as grassroots gets. They're kind of like family.
Jeremy actually reminds me a lot of my child. They are similar in appearance and in energy.
Sometimes Irizarry mothers Miller.
I can do everything. I know you, and you're going to say, I'll do that, no problem, I'll do that. Next thing, you got 12 things on your...
It'll get done
and
if I say I'm
going to sleep.
Well, sleep is whatever.
Yeah.
Sleep is a luxury.
One of the things that keeps Misha Irizarry up at night, literally, is her foundation's 24-hour crisis hotline for victims of police brutality and their families. When I ask Irizarry where that number rings, she raises her flip phone in the air.
It's under my pillow at night.
And people do call, even at 2 a.m.
I feel like, oh, Lord. And then I listen, and then I don't think about me anymore.
The San Francisco Police Department says they get calls from families of those killed by police, too. But it's pretty different. That's according to Monica McDonald, a public information officer with the SFPD.
We assign a liaison to the family, and they're available 24 hours a day.
Their phone line is not for emotional support. It's more about answering questions about the investigation and other police-related matters.
That person works out of our office at Media Relations.
They're the same people who speak to journalists, like me. McDonald says the SFPD does have a unit that provides free psychological services, but it's for police, not members of the public who may have been impacted by police actions.
A lot of times families have their own resources already. They have their church, they have their family members, they have other stuff like that that they lean on as well. If there is a trust issue, that's not maybe not something they would ask us.
And there is nothing nobody can do to let me get for me to gain their trust anymore. Trust is gone.
That's Angela Nagy. She's the mother of O'Shane Evans. Evans was killed by SFPD officers in October 2014 when he was 26. He was shot while sitting in the driver's seat of his mother's car. Nagy says she called the police department repeatedly, even showed up in person, but it took months to get her car back, which she relies on to get to and from work. When her car was returned, it still had blood, glass, and bullet holes.
I just finished cleaning the blood out of my car.
You had to do it yourself?
Yes. Get it down, vacuum all the broken windows and stuff like that.
Nagy says she was lost until she and her family met Misha Irizarry about a week after her son's death. Irizarry and her team helped Nagy fundraise for funeral expenses. They let her know her legal rights to file a complaint or a lawsuit, and they connected her to an attorney.
Those are my shoulder to cry on. Those people are everything to me. I'm not getting any therapy. Those people are my therapists.
Like Irizarry, Nagy has become politically active. Today, she's advocating for a young Guatemalan immigrant named Amilcar Perez Lopez at a town hall meeting addressing his death.
O'Shane was an immigrant. I am an immigrant. This is an immigrant right here.
That's right. Yes. The SFPD holds meetings like these a few days after someone is killed by police. Police Chief Greg Sir uses the meeting to share the official story.
The officers were approximately 5 to 6 feet away when the suspect charged one of the officers with a knife raised overhead.
But Sir's description differs from some witness accounts.
I get angry. People are frankly honest.
That's Idris Deli Foundation's Jeremy Miller. Miller says he comes to these town hall meetings for a couple reasons. One, to be accessible to people like Angela Nagy. And two, to be noticed by police and the police commission.
I come to remind them that we're still here. We're still here. You are still being watched. There are still people in the community that are paying very close attention to what you're doing, and we're not going to let this go.
Miller says he met Irizarry about a decade ago. He has a day job, but on nights and weekends, he's working for the Idris Deli Foundation. Miller says he joined because he was struck by the lack of resources for victims of police brutality.
Victim services won't touch you. You have to fight to get legal representation.
Miller might work with clients for days, months, even years. Clients like Chris Brown. Miller met Brown at the funeral of Brown's older brother, Raheem. Raheem was 20 when he was killed by an Oakland Unified School District police officer. He was sitting in a parked car close by a high school with his friend when he was approached by two officers and a scuffle left him dead. Chris, who was just 18 at the time, was in shock when he heard the news.
So our first interaction actually wasn't all that great. He was angry at the whole world.
Miller initially counseled the whole family, mom, dad, and Raheem's five brothers. But now, 4 years later, he's mainly in touch with Chris.
The kid that I met versus where he's at now, I mean, he's just grown up so much.
He's helped me, you know, grow, far as like being able to trust someone that's not my family.
That's Chris Brown. He says he calls Jeremy Miller his uncle now. We're standing in his bedroom. It's the morning after one of Brown's graveyard shifts. He's a security guard.
I work every day. No days off. Most of my days, I don't have no day off. 14, 16 hours a day.
Brown hasn't always worked this much. He says he dropped out of school in ninth grade and has cycled through many jobs through the years. And after his older brother died, his family unraveled. His mother.
It hit her, you know, I guess her heart. I mean, it kind of like made her like not want to, I guess, communicate. It made it distant.
They all struggled to go on without Raheem.
You know, he is like our balance, you know, and physically, he's not there. Reality. I don't accept it, but I'm coping with it.
Last year, Brown started making music. He says he tries to write things Raheem might have rapped about.
Still bullshit, so I stay fearless. Through all the stress, will I just die? Which way do I go?
Idris Deli Foundation founder Misha Irizarry says even with all their activism and lobbying, connecting with those left behind comes first.
The most important to me is like clients or other activists who say, you are the first people who listen to me. You gave me faith in humanity again. You allowed me to stop feeling that I wanted to die. You stopped me from going to kill a cop.
So she keeps working.
Being able to help others is, in a way, a very selfish way that I'm getting my own vicarious healing.
Every time another person is shot by police, Irizarry goes right back to the night her son died. But in helping other families recover, she picks up the pieces again. For Cross Currents, I'm Rachel Wong.